an old song that said, take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. I believe it was Dutch Sheets that was talking this week, and he talked about take time to worship. Take time to worship. Do we remember to worship? We have the opportunity always to worship. Things don't go right, we have time, we can worship. Call upon the Lord while he is near. You know, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's what the song says. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. We are so fortunate that we can know these things, that the Lord hears us and he answers. And early this week, I don't know what I read, but it just spoke to my heart about when I, the scripture, and I don't know for sure, when I consider his ways. And I thought, I should just consider his ways more. Just consider. Just sit and consider. And as I sat and I considered, the thought that came to me was how amazing God is. That he created this playground for his people. And he allows everyone to play. Doesn't matter if you love him, doesn't matter if you hate him, doesn't matter if you curse him, doesn't matter what you do or what you are, we all have access to his wonderful creation. Everybody, every single person, you know? How merciful is he? And how much does he want everyone to come to the knowledge of him? How much does he want everyone to come into the kingdom? How much do we want everyone to come into the kingdom? You know, I mean, again, the call for the minute to win it. My alarm goes off every night at 9 o'clock. We shut off everything and we pray for a minute. It ends up being more than a minute because if you imagine how fast a minute goes by. And yet sometimes you sit and you think, you know, regular things going on. It's like, oh, how long have I got? How long have I got? Again, that thing about time. And I'll be honest with you, the first night that the alarm went off, it was, I told Vicki, I said, I don't even know what to pray. Maybe that's because there were so many people on the line. No. If you've ever been on a conference call with a lot of people, you got a lot of thoughts, but you don't always have a lot of talk. I don't know. It was like it was maybe too big of a minute. Maybe too big of a moment. It was like, what do I have to say? You know? Sometimes, you know, people put on their prayer mantle when it's time to pray, and they want to sound prayerful. You know, and mostly I'm pretty simple, but you know, something happens when we pray. You know, and when we make a point of praying at a certain time. You know, of everybody, not everybody listening to everybody, but we're all on. You know. And so I've come to be more comfortable to pray something. We're praying for our nation. Praying for our leaders. Praying for revival. Praying for billions of souls. Praying for the opportunity to say something. Say something. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you read the whole chapter, you see that Moses is kind of giving them a little representation of what things are like. And now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees, Moses says, and these regulations that I'm about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live, so you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to or subtract from these commands I'm giving you. Just obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you. You saw for yourself what the Lord did to you at Baal Peor. There the Lord your God destroyed everyone who had worshipped Baal, the god of Peor. But all of you who were faithful, the Lord your God, are still alive today. Every one of you. You know, like, he's just reminding them of where they've been and what's going on. And he's just kind of going over that. Well, by the time he gets to verse 39, he says, so remember, New King James says, so consider in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath, and there is no other. Consider that. You know? And he has just gone through all this stuff that they've been experienced, all this stuff that they've heard, all of this stuff. Just all of this stuff. In the New Living it says, so remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God in heaven and on earth, and there is no other. Verse 40 says, if you obey all the decrees and commands I'm giving you today, all will be well with you and your children. I'm giving you these instructions so you will enjoy a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. We have these treasures in our earthen vessels. We have better promises. I don't know about you, but when I read the Old Testament and I look at what they had and what they could have and the promises, I think, man alive, how clear can it be? And then I look at me, and I have better promises. I have a better covenant. I have a new covenant. I have not the blood of bulls and goats and birds and rams. I have the blood of the Lamb sealing that promise. How can I not? You know, how can we not? And so sometimes when I'm reading the Old Testament and I'm thinking, my goodness, these people, I have to quit and say, my goodness, Roger. You know? Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Consider in your heart the Lord is God in heaven and on earth. Now, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. I have a lot of songs in my head, a lot of songs in my heart, and a lot of them just come, they just come. And I imagine they come at the right time, you know, to remind me that the Lord, our God, is a God in heaven and on earth. That the Lord has promised me, fear not, I'm with you. I'm with you. When you walk through the water, when you walk through the flame, you'll not be drowned, you'll not be burned. I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. And it might work. See, that's the thing. Everybody, people say, well, I don't know. But what if we just flip that and we know that it will work, but to others, to people who don't know, you know, there's not that stuff, no, that won't help anything. And but it might. The guy that asked me about reading the Bible, and I suggested that he jump to John. And I'm not positive how far he has read. He says, I've just been barreling through it. And anything I was talking about, I saw that. I read that. It was already hidden in his heart. He's just, you know, he got hungry and he fed himself. We feed ourselves on what God says. We feed ourselves on praise music. We feed ourselves on old songs, new songs, you know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I remember when I was a kid, this is my story. You see, some of those songs did, they had a nice kick to them and they had a nice thing to them and you could just sing. I sang this is my story when it wasn't my story. But I put that into the atmosphere. You know? We put it into the atmosphere. We put prayer into the atmosphere. We put faith into the atmosphere. We put confidence into the atmosphere. We don't put doubt into the atmosphere. We listen closely. Don't put doubt out there. Don't throw doubt out there. You know? God says when you pray, he hears you. And his promises, they will work. There's no might about it for us. We know. We know. And even though we know, there may just be times when a particular condition or circumstance is going on and doubt creeps up. So we'd be better off to say, well, at least it might work. Not, I don't think it'll work. I don't see how it can work. I don't know what good that will do. Those are the kind of things that end up hovering about us like that cloud in the little kid of the Peanuts cartoons. You know, that one kid walked around with a cloud over his head. You know, I think it was dirt, but he had a cloud over his head. You know, sometimes the clouds come. But when we see the clouds, we don't go, oh no, the sun's gone, do we? We know the sun's there. You know, like I used to give my mom a hard time. She'd say how gloomy it was or something. She said, oh, there's just no sun. I said, there's sun, it's shining. If it wasn't shining, it'd be really dark, you know. It's shining through the clouds. God's coming through the clouds. He's coming. He's coming. You know? There's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I read a devotion that said something like, there's something that says we make so many thousand decisions a minute. I didn't know I thought that much. But there's a lot of decisions going on. We got a lot of decisions. Now, I don't quite think that it could be 1,000, but it probably is. There's a lot of stuff going. We're making a lot of calculations. We're seeing and we're processing and we're printing pictures and putting them up on a wall. You know, we got a lot of stuff that is going on. And then with all that stuff that's going on, we have a responsibility to prioritize those things. We decide what's going to take prominence in all those thoughts. We decide. And so, we can make a lot of decisions in a hurry. And we really can because we have a filter. We have the Holy Spirit who helps us to discern the most important thing and to reject those things that don't measure up, because we do have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. But you have the mind of Christ. And so we work that ability. We learn that without thinking about it, without really putting that into it. You know, I don't want you to spend days going 1,000 a month or two, three, finding out if you do 1,000 in that minute. You know, I think it's more like, I don't know what it is. I'm not a neurologist. I don't know. But, you know, the thing is that we can just very quickly, you know, artificial intelligence is supposed to be so good. And it can process, boom, 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 who knows how many pieces of information. And artificial intelligence is looking for more information all the time, eating it up like a Pac-Man. The more that it has, the more it can process. I got to tell you something, that's a little beyond my thinking. No, it's not a little beyond, it's quite a lot beyond. But we all have experienced, if we've ever been on a computer, where it seems like the stinking stuff is thinking ahead of us. It's been behind us, and it throws things back up in front of us. I can look at something on one of those shopping sites that's giving you a special deal, and there's like 50 of them on there, and I can just skip a whole bunch of them, and if I spend 2 seconds on one, that thing will find its way onto my screen. So they're even timing the scrolling. You know? And so that's fine, but it's not finer than God. It's not finer than the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It's not finer. Now we do the very best that we can to prioritize. And sometimes we prioritize really well, and sometimes we don't prioritize very well at all. Sometimes we are distracted. Sometimes we put aside something that we shouldn't put aside. We should work on it right then. I see something sometimes and I write a note and I write it on this piece of paper that's next to me on the computer. And what I should do is I should go with that right now. But I get distracted and I set that there because I don't want to forget it. And I will tell you that probably nine times, maybe 99 times out of 100, I can't find it again. And guess what happens then? I take too much time trying to find it. And it doesn't have to be something I read in my Bible. It can just be something else until I finally say, you know what, Lord, if I need that again, remind me. But you know what? I don't give up because I get distracted. I don't quit because I get distracted. I tell myself, do better next time, Roger. You know? If it's, and I say to the Lord, you're going to have to help me. Because here we are, all these years later. And he's still working on me. Show me what out of me. I'm so thankful for that. Whenever I start to think about things with God, it's just like I do. I feel like a child. I feel like when I was 30 and I said, Father, won't you please use me? Use your little boy. I'm still a little boy. Still am. You know, I may not look like a little boy to the perceiving eye, but that's what I am inside. I'm excited. I'm excited about the Lord. And if I catch myself not being excited, then I prod myself. What's the matter with you, Roger? Because he just keeps getting better. You know, Brandon Lake sung, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered, and that's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. He hears you. He hears you. That's exciting. He heard me. Daddy's in the house. Daddy's in the room. Daddy's here with us. He is, you know. We got seven of us here mighty in the Lord. What a privilege. What a privilege. I know all of you. I know all of you. And you know me. And you know where I live. And you know you're welcome. I would be a mess if I didn't see all of the people who were there. You know? You've got a, and I, bless their hearts. I don't know how they do it. They must have AI themselves. But you know, if you've got 30,000 people that show up to a service, you don't know them, and they don't know you. But they know you better than you know them. But the thing is. I don't know how many people are talking to him right now. I don't know how many people are talking about him right now. But he knows every person. He hears every person. He has notes on every person. Well, I don't know, probably doesn't take notes. But you got a story with God. You've got a story. You're not just a byline. You know, you got a story. And you're important. You are important to God. God's no respecter of persons. So, you know, when you get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to have a chance to go over the things I regret. I don't think so. I'm gonna have to watch the replays of my mistakes and my sins. I don't think so. I don't know why we would want to spend any time in heaven doing that, and I don't believe that God wants to go over them. He doesn't even go over my failures now. Never does. He doesn't even chime in. You know, oh, that was a big one, Roger. Doesn't even chime in. You know. I'm going to share this with you. I don't want to, but I'm going to, because I was in the middle of the night and I was praying. And all of a sudden, God says to me, "You're precious." Boy, I banged that one away in a hurry, you know. It was kind of like, well, yeah, of course, everybody's precious to you, Lord. And he said to me, he said, "Don't you do that." I got scolded. "Don't do that." I said, "Lord, that's..." Okay. That's too much. You know, "You're precious, Lord. You're precious." I'm not precious. But he said so. And then he talked about some things, and I can't say that he really convinced me, but they were pretty convincing. But I can say that I recognize very well when he said, "Don't do that," I shouldn't do that. But the thing that got me the most about it was it felt just a little bit like he was hurt. Oh, I don't want to hurt God. How in the world could I possibly be so stupid? Take a chance, but I learned something, you know. And he is. Everybody's precious. But he didn't want me to do the everybody's precious thing. He wanted me to receive what he said. I'm about there. I was reading another note that I wrote about that note, and I'm working on convincing myself. But you see, God cares. Now, I'm going to consider that in my heart forever. I'm going to remind me, I'm going to keep that. So if I'm going to keep that, then we should keep everything. And the Holy Spirit has it, you know. You know, he's keeping it all in our hearts. He's keeping it all there. Because he leads us into all truth. And so those things, even if we barely get them, I'm doing a couple of devotions, and I had started one, and then they do one with the youth group, so I jumped into that one too. So I'm got two Bible in a year things that are going, and one of them is into Leviticus now. The other one is still in Exodus. And so today I started Leviticus with it, you know. And I'm determined to read it. Every word, I am determined to just read it. And at least say I saw every word. You know, when I first was saved, I would read it. And I mean, I read it. But it just was like wanting to get to the good stuff, you know. Just get past this. And then I've read it all the times that I've read it. And I skim. I got to tell you, I skim. But this year I am determined to read every word. And consider it in my heart. It doesn't have anything to do with me, and yet it does. So I'm waiting to see what new things that I learn, but back to Moses. When he advises them and reminds them to consider in their hearts that the Lord, the one who chose them, is God in heaven and earth, and there is no other, he adds, that next verse says, and that, you know, it's like, all right, he adds that if they do it well, it will go well for them and their children, and they will have a good life. A lot of people just complain about their life. But God says, I'll give you a good life. And the good life that he gives us is the good life that he gives us. You know, it's not my life compared to anybody else's life or anybody else's life compared to my life. You know, I like my life that God gave me. I like it. I like it very well. I like that I lived through it until I got to know him. I like that very much. I've liked my life when it was going wonderful, and I've liked my life about, you know, I've never, sometimes people say, oh, I just hate my life. I've never hated my life. Just haven't. Well, that's easy for me to say. I've had a good life. I have. Everything been perfect? Probably not. You know? But I've liked it. But I want to tell you something. For the last 42 years, I've been living a dream. Absolutely living the dream. Crazy good. God is just wonderful. Remember, the Lord is our strength, okay? He is our strength. Don't get caught up in strengthening your way through things. You know, we call it bullying our way through. I can handle this. I can't handle anything. Jesus loves me, this I know. We are weak, he's strong. Paul said, I will therefore gladly be weak that I might be strong in Christ. That doesn't mean that we don't do anything. That doesn't mean that we don't have to make decisions. That doesn't mean that we don't have to act. But what it does mean is that we do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Why not take the whole package? You know what I mean? Why not take what he says, do what he says, have what he says that we have, trust it. Remember, we talked about the fact that there's no doubt in our mind. There cannot be any doubt in our mind of what God can do, and that's everything, right? And there can be no doubt in our mind that he wants to do it for you and for me. If there's a promise, put your name on it. There's a promise. And don't get hung up on the timing, because we don't know the time. I was watching, Fred sent me something, so I was watching this thing. He watches a lot of stuff, and I get a lot of YouTubes from him, and some I've got time to watch all of them, and some of them I don't, and this one was short enough that I could get through it all at one time. Anyway, this lady was talking, and she said something that just made a lot of sense. You know, miracles and healing are not the same thing. Miracles happen. Healing takes time. Well, Jesus healed a lot of people never instantly. Yes, yes, that's true. But as a rule, healing often takes time, and it mostly takes more time than we want it to take. But if we start watching the clock, it can discourage us. You know? It's like we are waiting for Vicky's healing. And then if you got, you know, we're waiting for those. We don't want to wait very long, but we're waiting. We're not going to complain about how much time it takes. And we're going to know it could be this moment. Like right now. Take it. I'm not going to make you get up and do a backflip to make sure, but no. But you know, see, that's the thing. Well, once God gets done, we can do more. But you know, the honest thing is that healing does take time. But the fact that we heal is a miracle. He made us that way. What about the people that don't get healed? I have no idea. I have no idea. It takes time. If they know Jesus, if it happens in heaven, that's a good place. But you see, we have the privilege of seeing things from a heavenly perspective. We have the privilege of casting down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We have the privilege. We can do that. We can shove those things aside. We can choose life. We can choose truth. We can choose to imagine, because God's able to do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. But natural thinking has this influence on it that has us turn left in our imaginations instead of right. You know? Promises of God, you know, instead of saying it'll work, they say, it doesn't work for me. Have you ever actually applied them? You know, I mean, pasted them there with super glue so you can't get them off. You know, it's like, okay. And sometimes if we do that, we can even move it from it could work to it's going to work. This is going to work. This is going to work. It's like an inventor, guy that invented the light bulb. Every time he tried, he was sure it was going to work. Or he wouldn't have kept trying. And then finally it did work. I told you it was going to work. They went to the moon. I told you we could get to the moon. What kind of thinking did it take for somebody to think they could? You know, that came from God. That came from God. That's supernatural. Well, no, they were just smart and they just, no. That came from God. And it was something that God wanted. I mean, God has been in this. He's been in the industry. He's been in everything to advance the world all this time. He wanted the satellites, because how many more people can hear about Jesus off a satellite? Elon Musk goes up and he puts those things out like hordes of mosquitoes. And they're there when somebody needs information. And there's just no way to get it. And Elon says, I got it. That's got to be God. That's got to be God. Well, what about the wicked people that do wicked things? Is that God? The intelligence is there, but it got turned left instead of right. Consider this day. Consider in your heart, consider when something of those thousands of decisions that you make every minute, when something comes up on the screen, not necessarily your computer screen, your brain screen, and it catches your attention, consider that one in your heart. And do better than me. Don't just write a note somewhere. Just take the time to consider it right then. Right then. Because I'll tell you what, those things that you just consider right then, and you take enough time to put down your considerations, when they pop into your head again, you'll know what you were considering. That's wisdom from God. There is no other. There's no other. We're told in the Bible, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So let's be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, I don't particularly need it right now. That's okay. Have it on refresh. Have it ready to go at any time because you will need it. Something will come up and you'll think, wait a second, I need to be strong right now in the Lord and the power of his might. I need to forgive and I'm going to need the Lord's help to forgive. You know? I need to get this done. I'm going to need the Lord's help to get this done. I'm going to log that in my head. We're instructed for that. If we do that, he'll strengthen us. He'll strengthen us. He said, I'll strengthen you. He will strengthen us. We'll be prepared. Yeah, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I've got that on reserve. I've got that extra battery. It's right there that I can turn it on rather than when something comes up and go, oh man, I just can't take it. Oh, yes, you can. Punch that button. Punch that button. I've got all strength. Consider in your heart that God is who God says that he is. That makes sense. And if you consider in your heart that God is who God says he is, and in your heart you're kind of thinking, there's just a lot that's a little bit of a stretch for me, then stretch. Because he is. We sing the song, says, fear not. What does it say after fear not? For I am with you, fear not. For I am with you, fear not. For I am with you, says the Lord. And then I love it. It says, I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. Oh, child, you are mine. God's saying, you are mine. When you walk through the water, I'll be there. And through the flame, don't man, I'll be there. And you won't be drowned and you won't be burned. Because I'm with you. Lo, I am with you always. Hear me, I am with you always. Consider in your heart that I'm with you always. Now see, these are all things that we know. Consider them in your heart. Refresh them. You know, I don't know how to really use the camera on my phone. Not with all the things it can do. Not with all the stuff, you know. It's like you can take that picture and you can change that picture just to, some of the little things that you can change the picture with. I don't know anything about them, but you know, I do know that some people know how to use them because I know those people and they don't look like that picture when I see them on Facebook. You know, it's like, I don't know how that works any more than when Vicky used to take pictures and talk about f-stops and that kind of stuff. And John, he's got all kinds of stuff and on his camera, and probably a lot of it now isn't a lot of having to dial it in. You just select, and it's already got everything on it that it knows what to do if you know which one to punch. See, my problem is sometimes I can get my camera open. I can do something. I can video for 3 or 4 minutes to send a message, and I forgot to turn on the video, so I can't send nothing. You know? Consider in your heart that God knows it all. And in his infinite wisdom, he chose you. Just that in itself is a good thing to consider. to just think about that. Don't try to figure out why. Or try to figure out why this or that in our lives. Just take comfort in the fact he chose us. He chose you. And you have the good news for everybody. That God's got a place for everybody. And it's an easy way to get started. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. People got to get started. That's all. They got to get started because God is able to complete the good work that he began, but they got to get started. You know? How they finish, that's not our business, but they got to get started. And then we need to pray and rejoice. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Father, we have a lot to consider because you give us a lot. So we do, we pray. We pray for billions to be saved. We pray for our nation and our president. We pray that you would be greatly glorified and magnified. And we praise you and thank you because you have been so good. And that's all you are. You are good. Good. Yes, you are good. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone who hears. Life. You give us life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.